When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to another episode of my show, the podcast, Lead Singer Syndrome. I am Shane Told, the host, as I take you into the backstage conversations that I have with other lead singers from all different walks of life. But if you know me, and I'm sure a lot of people do by now, if you've been listening to this thing for how many years have I been doing it? Almost 8 years. It's crazy. A lot of episodes, over 300 episodes. It's pretty wild. You know, though, that I love punk rock. Punk rock, my real, like, first love. And MXPX are just one of the godfathers at this point, I'd say, of, you know, modern punk rock, pop punk. I mean, without them, a lot of the bands that you know and love that have came since, they really wouldn't be the same. So it's an absolute privilege to have Mike Herrera back on the show to talk about their brand new album, which just came out. So it's like the record is 3 days old as I'm recording this. So Mike took the time out of a very busy schedule to talk to me about it, which I appreciate. The album is called Find a Way Home. MXPX put this out themselves, which is sick. And this is one of their best albums, straight up. Not just saying that. 13 tracks. They're all super in and out, fast songs, catchy, great lyrics. It rocks. So make sure you check out the new album, Find a Way Home. And this is a great conversation with Mike. So stick around for this one. Before we get into it, a few, you know, little things I like to mention. First of all, you can always get in touch with me. I read my email, leadsingersyndrome@gmail.com. If you got anything to tell me, advice, major life advice, yes, please tell me. If you need advice, I don't recommend asking me questions in that respect. I might steer you wrong. But if you know, got suggestions for guests or anything like that, whatever, please hit me up, leadsingersyndrome@gmail.com. And if you want more, if you want to eat, sleep, breathe this podcast, you can do that. You can become a member of the All Access Club for all access to bonus episodes and a great community and merch and more. And that link to go do that is leadsingersyndrome.com/all access. And yes, it costs a little bit of money, $6 a month. And it's important because that is what pays for all this stuff. Obviously, this podcast is free. It will always be free. So we rely on people and their generosity, kicking in a few bucks a month to help this thing go and grow each and every week. So yes, leadsingersyndrome.com/all access. Well, that's about it. I don't want to waste any more time. Let's get into it with my conversation with the man, Mike Herrera of MXPX. So let's ride.
Skyline, and when we make it to the other side, we'll find all.
Mike, hey man.
Hey, how you doing?
Dude, I'm good, man. Yeah, sorry about the mix up with the time and the Zoom and all that shit. Yeah, it's
all good. All good. No worries.
As a podcastman, I know you know all about that.
No, yeah, of course. It happens for sure.
100%, man.
All good. All good. Yeah, we can do this. So
we're doing it. I hit record and everything.
Okay.
That's a great part. That's a great start. Have you ever done a podcast and then realized that you forgot to hit record? Has that ever happened?
Oh, dude. Not quite like, yes, but I had a backup, but I did a full podcast with Chris Rowe from the Ataris, and we were in the backstage area and his bass player walks by and cuts the cord. Like we're like 50 minutes into like amazing stories and like, Budapest back alleys in Thailand and like, and he just trips over the cord and we're just like, no, cause I didn't have any batteries. I was like, hey, everybody, we're doing this thing here. So just be careful. We lasted 50 minutes. Wow. So the lost podcast, right?
That's right. Yep. No, it happened to me once. I won't name names, but it was this one podcast that was like the producer of the show. My old producer wanted me to get this guy on the show. So I was like, okay. Like, I didn't really want to talk to him. And I get this guy in the show and it was like the most boring guy ever, like just stonewalling me on every answer.
Right.
Like I'm trying and I'm getting through like 12, 15 minutes. I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to talk to this guy for like 45 minutes. Like, I don't know how. So I just struggled through it. And then I hung up the call and I was like, oh man, that was bad. That's like probably the worst podcast I've ever done. And I go to hit stop. And I realize I had never hit record. So no one ever had to hear that one.
There you go. Good.
And I never told the guy. That just happened. And so I hit record and everyone's hearing this so far. I'm here.
We're good.
With Mike Herrera of the legendary MXPX. I think we can go legendary status, right? When you hit 30 Dude, years, I- 30 years, come on, man, that's legendary status.
I mean, I guess it depends on who you are, but thank you, Shane. I appreciate that. That's too kind. We've been around. We started when we were kids though. That's the thing is like, you'd think we'd be older, but we started so young. I was talking to my friend Stefan the other day and he's like, hey, how old are you right now? Like, well, you know, I'm mid 40s, you know? And, he's like, oh, you're young. So
yeah.
Also legends, you know, Stefan Edgerton.
Well, I mean, you're still putting yourselves in your music videos.
Yeah.
You know, you have, you look good enough or feel confident enough to still be in them.
Well,
I think it was like the Beastie Boys at some point just were like, yeah, we're going to make videos, but we're not going to be in them anymore because we're old as shit and we just don't want to go through that.
Was that the take on it? That's so funny.
I heard them say that once. Yeah.
I just enjoyed the videos no matter what they did, but. You know, it's funny because now that we have AI, it's only a matter of time where you think we're still doing the videos, but it's not really us.
Oh, man.
And we just look like, how did those guys get so ripped? Like, what?
That's true, man. That's a weird thing to think about, but I think you're right. I know you're always like a cutting edge technology guy. Like, you're always like kind of looking for the next thing, which I want to talk to you about that a little later. But first, we got to talk about this new record. The new album is out now.
Yeah.
It just came out on Friday. Your first record in like 5 years. And you know, we don't get MXPX records like every fucking couple of years anymore, man. Like these are rarer and it's really, really awesome to get one. And congrats because this record kicks ass. I've listened to it a couple times all the way through now. And I'm loving it. I can't wait to listen to it again.
Dude, thank you so much. I appreciate that, Shane. Especially coming from you, you know, because you guys are still on top. So
thanks, man.
Dude, sometimes I feel like, you know, you mentioned 5 years. Sometimes I feel like the guy that wrote Game of Thrones, you know, like he can't finish that stuff in time. You know, he's like really slow as a writer.
Totally.
And sometimes I feel like I take a while on things, but once I get going, honestly, it's for me, it's about momentum, you know, like just getting that inertia happening and then things start moving. So like, I feel like that happened with the release of this record. You know, it was, we released one song, which is very kind of abnormal for a lot of people these days, but we released one song, Stay Up All Night, a month, maybe a month and a half before the record came out. So it was a pretty slow, a pretty quick ramp up as far as like, you know, these days, but like intention spans, you know, we were just like, we were just trying to get all of the pieces together. And as soon as we got enough together to announce this, we announced. As soon as we got enough together to actually release, we really, you know, like, so like it all came down to a lot of different things, obviously. Not just marketing and all that, but also the actual product, having the vinyl in hand, having all the t-shirts and the hoodies printed, you know, like it's just so much more stressful if you're like, are these hoodies going to make it, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, you guys have always had such a a DIY attitude with
DIY,
with everything. I mean, I still remember, I think the last time you were on the podcast, I told you the story about when I was in high school and my friend was like, dude, I ordered an MXPX shirt and then like it wasn't in stock. And like Mike's mom called me, was like, hey man, we don't have that shirt in like large, is like medium okay or whatever. And it's like, you know, it's funny because, you know, that's where you guys started from.
Yeah.
And over 30 years, you've done the major label thing, the indie label thing. And now here we are, like you're back on your own again. Like, you know, this record is your guys' like own label and everything, right? Like you're doing everything yourselves.
Yeah, we have a team. We have a small team, MXPX team. And, you know, it's like multi-parts. The Bremerton part here is, you know, the merch and the, you know, the actual physical stuff. And then, you know, we have people around the country that are like management, booking, record label type stuff too, you know, like every day just working the office, but not in Bremerton, but, they do great. And I'm working with them all the time, but you know, I think old habits die hard, you know, muscle memory kicks in. We've done the major label thing. We've done our time sitting on the bus, you know, whatever, watching movies, playing video games. Back then there was no internet, like a lot of those days. And of course, you know, through the cell phone era, we finally got cell phone, you know, like we toured through all those years and, you know, the muscle memory kicked in once we decided to do merch on our own, once we decided to self-release. There's a lot of reasons we do that. And I don't think it's for everybody.
Right.
You know, I don't think everybody should do what MXPX does. Like there's, it's a lot of work. I'll tell you that, you know, so you kind of have to have the right setup, but, you know, it's been amazing that we have been able to go back to such a DIY vibe for the last two records, especially self-releasing. We did the Kickstarter for 2018 self-titled, then here with, you know, the 2023 Find a Way Home. I guess that's what I'm calling it. you know, self-releasing is so rewarding when it seems to be going well. Like when, you know, with this launch, it's a very different launch. You know, we didn't feel like we could do the same thing and have the same results, as our last record. Cause we did Kickstarter and it was awesome.
Yep.
And it was huge. And it was like, it blew us away, three times what we asked for. So this time around, what we did is Tom Chichilla and I have just been talking for like over a year about these ideas. And he really came up with this idea, but I feel like we all made it happen. And what we did is we partnered with all these bands, all these brands online for our launch. And we went live, we played the record live.
Yeah.
We got the record out to people. At least like see an MXPX thing or whatever. Even if they don't click on it, there's just like people, we flooded people's feeds for the weekend. And this was just this last weekend. You know, if this is coming out this week, be like 2 weeks ago or something, but, it really, like, it was an experiment that we had never really, really done to this extent.
Yeah.
We had, you know, you can go live on multiple platforms, Facebook, YouTube, all that.
Sure.
So, but what we were doing is going live on MXPX, all of our platforms, and say like Furnace Fest, 23 Punk, the Ataris, Mest, Simple Plan, you know, like Amber, like all these bands let us broadcast on their thing. And so you're next, but no.
We would have helped you out.
I know. I just ran out of time, brother.
We still owe you for that Japan tour you took us on years ago. And, you know, you've always been sweet to us.
Oh, dude, that was so much fun.
It was so much fun. I've never had a worse hangover the next morning after that one dinner.
Ooh, just dropping sake bombs.
But no, I mean, I saw that and I loved it. And I thought it was such a cool original idea. But the first thing that it kind of like triggered in my mind was like, remembering in the pandemic how much stuff you guys were doing, you know, you were kind of like in a way sort of leading the charge. You know, there were bands that didn't want to do live streams. You were doing them. You were doing them actually live too. And it's like, it made me think like if that whole pandemic thing didn't happen and we weren't all so well versed in the idea of live streams, maybe you wouldn't be doing this in 2023. And it's interesting too, because it's like, that's still a great way to get your music to people. You know, it's like now that the pandemic is over, I guess that's debatable for some people, but
sure.
But now that we've moved on past that,
yep,
people aren't even doing it anymore. And it's still a great outlet. Like the live streams were really, some of them were really cool.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think, with a lot of things, sometimes it's okay to take a break. And so like we did it for a long time. We built the studio here. I kind of got like cut my teeth doing the acoustic stuff every week.
Right.
At the beginning of the pandemic, I was in Waco, Texas, kind of just stuck by myself. I was writing. I was doing these shows. And that was easy because anybody can really just like sit in front of your phone and do an acoustic show. But then it was like, okay, let's do this for MXPX. And so like started like doing research, started planning. And it took me basically, I don't know, 3 months to like get all the equipment I needed and to get all the things and like, okay, well, I didn't realize I needed that. You know, you just could do it in steps, right? So that was a big sort of like stretch my brain, like do something outside my wheelhouse as far as like what I normally would do as a band guy, right? And it was fun to do because I had a bunch of, you know, called a bunch of people, asked some questions and we made this happen so we could do it live and we could do it at our studio. So it doesn't, I mean, once we have this stuff, it only costs us to like hire the crew to like come in and do it. You know, it doesn't cost us anything beyond that, which is amazing. And of course things break, you know, we have to replace things and that there's always that, but that's a studio in general. But that's been a huge thing, honestly, Shane, like just the learning experience through COVID and through all that. And I feel like that's all behind us. It's never going to happen that way again. Even if COVID technically comes back, it's not going to happen that way again. People are much more wide-eyed and they're not just going to, I don't think touring is going to shut down. I think they'll just take whatever precautions people feel like they need to take and everybody else can do whatever the hell they want.
Well,
that's the world I'm living in right now. I feel like
I hope you're right. And I, but no, man, it's really great to see. I mean, just after everything we've all been through, for you guys to come out on top with this, with this new album, let's talk a little bit more about it. It's called Find a Way Home.
Yeah.
13 tracks. It really felt like it had obviously not exactly the same sound and the same exact, you know, carbon copy of like the late 90s, you know, Epitaph, Fat Records scene, but there's definitely a feeling of this is classic punk rock here, right? 33 and a half minutes, 13 songs. Like a lot of these songs sound like they could have been on some of your old records. What when you guys get together and you're writing and you're writing songs on your own or whatever it is, are you channeling any of that? Is there like times when you're like, man, this was kind of like a cool song, you know, like I want to write a song like this? Or is it just like onwards and upwards when you kind of sit down with a guitar?
You know, that's a great question. I'm trying to think because I would say when I'm writing, I'm just trying to write what hooks me and what I can remember. And so like so to start the process, it's I might have like 5 ideas in my phone on a voice memo, or, you know, there's much more than that, but I'm like narrowing down like something that I'm listening to. Right. And then out of those, it's like, I'll pick 2. And then out of that, I'll pick whichever one's like hitting me on theme and vibe and mood, and then I'll just start writing that. So honestly, it doesn't have to do with trying to channel MXPX, because I feel like that gets answered when I bring the song. I bring a basic structure to the band, and sometimes there's a lead already written. Sometimes it's just here's a space for a lead,
right?
Things like that, right? But a lot of times I'll just have like a melody for the riffs and stuff in my head, even if I haven't written it. And so I bring it to the band, and then I think the band honestly makes it sound like what you just described. It makes it sound like our old school records, just what we're doing now. It's like Yuri, he's better than ever, but it's crazy. But I feel like with Tom, he's I wouldn't say he's better than ever. He's good. And he's always been that sort of just like super strong rhythm. Like he's got the strongest wrist. I don't know what he does. He's got a strong wrist.
Oh man. No, it's just such a fun record, you know? And you know, even like throwing in Sunrise track 11, like a little instrumental track in there, you know, that didn't sneak by me. It just felt very much like, as much as like your records have progressed, this felt like a nice mix kind of a progression and also kind of a throwback.
You know, that kind of triggered a thought in my head when you mentioned that, because I feel like I do things similarly that we did back in those days, which was not necessarily like the exact musical parts similar, but the mindset of, hey, if I come up with this and it's kind of fun to do, let's just leave it in, even if it's not necessarily like traditionally what a real song should do here or whatever.
Right.
And yeah. So like we used to have like jazz parts and weird stuff like that. And, you know, honestly, you know, I think a lot of punk bands do fun stuff like that. So I don't think we were necessarily the first to do that, but just leaving that kind of weird stuff in. And then nowadays, you know, I don't know what that could be considered here, you know, with Sunrise, I guess it's probably just the fact that, wow, you're really going to like waste a track on an instrumental, but like, that's something we would have done back in the day.
Totally,
right?
Is. Like, it totally is. Yeah. No, it makes me think of like, the NOFX So Long and Thanks for All the Shoes record that has like a random instrumental track, you know, like near the end, you know, and it's like, there doesn't have to be rules, you know, you don't have to have every song be a classic structure. And especially your last track, Mistakes Will Be Made. That doesn't have at all a classic structure. Like it's a super, super cool song and a super cool way to end the album too. It's maybe my favorite track on the whole thing.
Dude, thank you. You know, I couldn't write that if I tried, you know, like it's just like, except for I did one time, but you know what I mean? It's just one of those weird songs where it's just like, that's, I don't know where that came from. I definitely started with what I call the pre-chorus. We choose to be who we are in some ways, in some ways we don't. That part, that was like the first part I wrote of the song, and then like from there it was like kind of like it grew out and back and forward from there, which is very unorthodox for me. So maybe that's why it does sound so weird.
Right.
I usually start with the first verse straight up, or it could be, say, with Stay Up All Night, I started with the first riff. Do, 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 do.
Yeah.
So, but it's, yeah.
Yes. I mean, one time someone on this podcast called songwriting a dark art.
Yeah.
And it's so true, right? Because there's no rules. Everybody does it a little bit differently. And sometimes people do it differently from how they do it. You know, it's nothing makes sense. You can start in any order. You can change things around. And that's really interesting that, you know, that's just the way it is.
And you can take a part that you wrote like 10 years ago that you forgot about, that you find, and you're like, oh my God, I forgot about that. I'm going to write the rest of that song. And it sounds fresh. You can make it sound fresh. You can make it sound what you are now. And there's no rules. Like you can put three songs together. I mean, I've done it.
Totally.
It happens.
It happens all the time, man. It happens absolutely all the time. Well,
none of these songs were like that, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, the new record, Find a Way Home, is out now on it's just MXPX. It's just, it's not on a label. It's just the band. So you're supporting the band when you pick up a vinyl. I was impressed, like going to your merch store and stuff and being like, hey, you know, you can buy a vinyl record for $25. Like that, you know, cutting out the middleman a little bit, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's also, it's awesome, you know, that you're able to give your fans, you know, like, kind of like the old days. Like I bought a Less Than Jake shirt for $7 once, you know, like, Canadian too. So, you know, I love that you guys are still doing that and you're like conscious of that, you know, and you're not just trying to gouge everybody that's been waiting for a record for 5 years. You guys like actually seem to really care about doing it the right way.
Yeah. We try really hard not to run out of vinyl right away. You know, I know there's different structures, obviously different ways to do it. Sometimes you design it that way where you're like, okay, we need to sell these out, you know, first couple of days and move on. Cause you don't always want a bunch of stock of something. Right. But like for our new record, we're like, well, this is our new record. We're going to want this for a year. We're going to want this for like a couple of years. So we did press a lot of records and we sold a lot of records, but that just means we, you know, the grind is not over. We just need to keep telling people about the album, about, you know, all the different variants of vinyl, you know, all of that. But, you know, it always starts with what's exciting about what you're doing, you know, why should I care about this record? And, you know, so the songs and obviously giving back to the fans and communicating and getting out there into the community, not just our own MXPX fans. Like I said, you know, working with a bunch of other bands has been awesome. Less Than Jake, you just mentioned them. We were just at their show, hang with them. It was the best time ever, you know, cause we're old friends. And, and then we get to, you know, broadcast our new album on their YouTube, on their Facebook and stuff like that, man. I just can't even believe this is real life sometimes. Like this is the Matrix, right? This is a simulation.
Yeah, I 100% believe it at this point. Yep. What's next, dude? Aliens. Probably aliens is next, I think.
I mean, that's the thing. It's like we keep hearing about the aliens. Tom DeLonge is like on Times Square. You know, like Tom was right. You know, like how crazy is this life that is a thing that's like in the mainstream of the world. Blink-182 is in the mainstream of the world. And like, I discovered them in a backyard party because some band covered their song, and this was like Cheshire Cat days, you know, or whatever.
Sure.
So like, it's just wild, man. It's pretty wild. Like it's, I'm grateful to be doing what we're doing. Obviously, you know, going back to the whole DIY thing, the muscle memory, doing things ourselves, like sometimes I forget, you know, that there are so many different ways to do things. You know, you don't always have to do everything yourself. So learning to do things differently. I think we're going to do that in the future too. We're not necessarily always going to be just DIY. Like if we come across the right partner, we're open. We're open to branching out and doing something different.
Well, yeah. I mean, you guys have always been very smart with everything you do. And with this new record is no exception. You mentioned Less Than Jake and you mentioned kind of the continuing this era of, you know, celebrating this era of Find a Way Home. And you got a lot of stuff coming up. Furnace Fest. Headlining the first day of Furnace Fest.
Yeah.
When we were young, that's awesome. We did it last year. It's incredible. And also, probably the coolest thing is doing a headlining show at the Hollywood Palladium with Less Than Jake and others. That's all awesome stuff. You know, it's cool because I think like back in the day, we would get in the van or get in the bus and we would tour, you know, it's like just tour. And now it's like you're picking your spots a little more. Do you find doing those big shows and just doing kind of them once in a while and doing less shows makes them feel maybe a little more special?
I mean, I hope it does. I mean, I definitely feel like it does. You know, one of the main things is, and we do have more shows coming up. Stoked for the Palladium show because Less Than Jake, Reliant K, Smokey Popes, it's like all headliners on one show. It's so rad.
Awesome.
So, but yeah, we have more shows. We just can't quite announce them yet. So people out there in the nether regions, Canada, all that, you know, we're going to announce some stuff, you know, coming up for next year. But, and another reason why we don't tour a ton these days is because I have kids and they're young. I, you know, the first couple of years of my daughter's life, my first kid, rough. I mean, rough because I was gone all the time. And so I've just really tried to scale that back. Yuri's also got kids. They're slightly older than mine. But and then Chris, second guitar player, he's got young kids as well. So like, I think once the kids get a little older, we might do more of the regular touring.
Right.
But, you know, with technology, with, you know, the way the world is these days, we might still just do just a bunch more of the, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday kind of type gigs and fly around and do more of that. Because we're going to try to get over to Europe. We're going to try to go over to the UK, Australia, Japan, all of that in 2024. Indonesia. So it's like,
yeah,
there's a lot planned. And of course, a lot more US and North America stuff. So
awesome.
Yeah, stoked.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, we're gonna keep hitting this record. Yeah. I mean, the thing about this record is like you can't go out and play all your new songs on a tour, right? For a record or even a record release. I mean, maybe if it's a record release party, you can play the full thing live. But then you always have to play like a couple of your like hits, right? Usually that's what we've done in the past live.
Oh yeah.
But with the live stream, it's a different medium. It's a different understanding. We're giving them something for free. They're in their living room. They're in their underwears or chonies, whatever. And we can somehow play whatever we want. We can play the whole new album. People love it. People are like, oh, I like this new one. Or I like this one. But like, it doesn't have the same feel. People aren't even requesting songs, you know, old, you know, maybe a few people, but like overwhelmingly it's people just engaged in the new record, which blew us away when we did it. So, you know, when we're going out to do these actual shows, it's going to be like, okay, we have to like pare this way down and do just a few new songs and then give the crowd what they want. Right. Like, I mean, I feel like
totally
feel like we should as entertainers entertain, right? But somehow the live streams, like, it gives you a little bit of a pass, like a lot of it, a bit of a pass for us. It's been awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is interesting. I think you're completely right. But yeah, you know, with, you know, you guys doing less shows and stuff over the years, you know, and people not being able to just see MXPX, you know, every year, let's say. You know, you know, so when you're in Quebec, like you're doing a festival in Quebec too, it's like, oh, well, they came all the way here and I didn't hear, you know, Doing Time or like whatever, you know, classic MXPX song. Like, you know, that's just the reality, right? Is like,
yeah,
people want to hear the hits. But I think people also do want to hear new stuff. I don't think it's like, okay, we're going to play a new song. Like, now's a great time to, like, you know, go get a beer or take a piss or whatever. Like, I don't think that's at least your fan base. I don't think is like that at all.
Not at all.
And they shouldn't be, because I think your last two records are arguably your best material you've ever put out.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, that's what's crazy is Let's Ride from our last record is one of those songs that people request all the time. Like, it gets one of the biggest reactions. There's a lot of young kids, you know, like my own kid asked me the other day, she's like, hey, can I request Let's Ride? I'm like, oh yeah, yeah. Hit us up on YouTube. Comment on YouTube, and we'll get you in there. You got to get in line. But it's just fun. I mean, you know, yes, it's a little different. Say, like somebody like Tom Petty. I saw him at the Gorge years ago, and I was appalled that a bunch of the, shall we say, redneck type fans were yelling, "Boo, play the old shit." You know, like,
right.
Come on, dude, let him play the last DJ. He's getting his rocks off. It's all good.
Yeah.
Or whatever it was he was playing. It was like a new song. But, yeah, I don't think it happens quite as much with bands like MXPX. People are just happy to see it. But, you know, there's different crowds too. You know, you play like a When We Were Young fest. It's a little bit of shorter, you know, it's obviously a shorter set than a headliner.
Yes, totally.
And, you know, you have a lot of people that are seeing you for the first time. So what are you going to do? Are you going to play some obscure, weird song that, like, you know, nobody really knows or cares about? You're going to play the hits. Yeah. And it's what people want. And I think it's what makes sense. And it's vice versa for headliners. I don't think you should just do hits. I think you should throw in some fun stuff. That's my own personal philosophy. Everybody does what they want, but that's kind of like what I think we work with, is we just go back and forth.
Totally. I mean, But do you guys ever like not play a song on a tour? Like, do you ever not play Chick Magnet? Like that? I mean,
we have. Yeah.
Would people? Yeah. There was no backlash. I mean, there must have been a little bit.
I mean, there probably was. I guess it depends on what kind of shows it was, but
right.
These days, yes, we'll leave out, say, like an I'm okay, you're okay off the set and replace it with Heard That Sound, which is a mid-tempo song that's, I feel like it's a similar type MXPX song, even though they're on different records, but they're both singles. But I don't know, it's like, if we're in Southern California, Heard That Sound was a huge hit, but so was I'm Okay, You're Okay. So you can't go wrong anywhere, you know, playing any of those songs. So we just kind of go back and forth. We switch it up. When it comes to like, we've been headlining festivals a lot more these days. And so that's another dynamic. It's not just doing the short festival set. It's doing the longer festival set. And so you have to like, you know, you have to figure out, okay, how do we take everybody on a journey, but keep it mainstream, you know?
Right.
You know, that's where you enter in all the theatric, all the Green Day, Billy Joe type stuff, you know? Like, it's like, I feel like a lot of us front men and women learned a lot from Green Day growing up, you know?
Yeah.
Just, I saw them open for Bad Religion. It was just like, holy shit. It was before Dookie.
Crazy, yeah.
And, you know, we love them. But anyway, so yeah, I mean, There's so many different things, but you don't do that when you don't do that same thing when you're in the 300 cap rock club.
No,
you know, not in the same way, right?
No, so, and if you try, it doesn't really work, you know. Like if you know what I mean, like you have to kind of read the room.
People try.
Yeah, people try. It's not a good move. No,
that's it's funny. Weird. It's like
it's funny. I remember when Green Day played Warped Tour. I think it was maybe the year 2000.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, you know, it's Warped Tour, so everybody gets a half an hour. And I remember being so pissed because I think Green Day played like four songs in a half an hour because the rest of the time was just like, you know,
yeah.
It's like, oh, come on. Like, we're getting four, maybe five Green Day songs and because Billy Joe has to like, I don't know. To me, that kind of pissed me off, actually.
But, that's hilarious.
You know, it's like good for the show, I guess. But like,
they didn't change it up at all. There's like, we're just doing what we do. Just cut it off when we're done.
Exactly. That was totally what it was. It was like, oh man.
Oh, that's great. Well, I remember they went over a few times. We had to follow them at least twice on that tour, which is. It was a little tough.
Oh, you were on, like, you we were did on Warped Tour 2000 as
we
well.
We were on that same. Oh. Oh, we were. Oh, yeah. It was big.
Wow.
It was great. It was great. Yuri's got a great story. Our drummer has a great story about taking a dump next to Billy Joe in the next stall.
I hope so.
I'll let him tell it sometime. But.
Oh man.
Anyway, yeah, that was a great tour. It was hot as balls everywhere we went, and Green Day was on fire, obviously, and I, honestly, MXPX was on fire too, but just, you know, we were just trying to hold on because Green Day was so huge, you know. It's insane.
Yeah, it's crazy. I'm pulling up the Warped Tour 2000 lineup right now. Because I think I saw it twice. I remember I saw it in Toronto, and then I think I was randomly in like New Jersey and I saw it too. But it's crazy. Yeah, we've got all the classics. We've got NOFX, Suicide Machines, Mill and Colin, Good Riddance, Less Than Jake, of course. What would Warped Tour be without Less Than Jake, at least on some of it? And yeah, there you are. Yeah. You guys played the whole thing, didn't you?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
We started in 97, did part of it towards the end, and then we did all of 98, and then we did 99 in Europe and Australia and Hawaii or something like that.
Yeah.
And then we did 2000 there, and then we did that 2000. I don't know if it was two or three at that point, if it was another 2 years and we did it again. I think it was 2002 we did. And then we were on the even years, and then we didn't do it again until 2005.
Yeah, that's always funny how it was like no matter what you can't do it twice in a row. So like you were on the even years, and we were always on the odd years.
Yeah,
which is probably what, you know, because I don't really remember seeing you guys on Warped Tour.
Yeah,
it's probably all those years we were on, like, you know, we were on you know, always on the odd. That's really funny.
The odds,
man.
The odd years, crazy.
Who knows? Maybe it'll come back at some point. I don't know.
I think it will. We, by the way, we broadcasted live on Warped Tour's Facebook and YouTube.
Sick.
And people, I mean, it's so weird because when you look at the comments on different bands' comments, there's a few people that are like, maybe like, what is this? But it's literally mostly all people that are like, oh yeah, or this is awesome, or, you know, like, I can't believe, and I'm stoked that they're working together, or, you know, whatever, that,
right,
you know, that Reliant K is sharing this or whatever. So like Warped Tour was the same thing. It was like, and of course it was like, oh, this must mean something. Warped Tour is coming back. It was like, I'm happy to start that rumor. I'm happy to let's get the groundswell going, because you kind of need that for some things like that to happen, you know, because I know it'll come back eventually, but it'll come back because there's a rumbling and people like kind of have a demand for it. And
right.
And like you said, with the live streams going away, just if you go away for a little while, people are kind of like, hey, what happened to that after a while? You know, like, oh yeah. So Warped Tour is the same, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I like, just to be clear, I don't have any inside information. I don't know anything about this. Just in case people think. But I agree with you.
Me neither.
I agree with you that the brand of Warped Tour is so massive, you know, and legendary.
Yeah.
And when it, and yes, the fact that it's been gone now for a few years, it's only growing, right? So like, I don't know if it ever comes back, if it'll be the same thing, if it will be like, you know, someone will kind of use the name, or it'll be like Warped Tour 2.0. I don't know. But regardless, it is great to see people, you know, being like, whoa, 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 is it coming back? What's happening? It's a great sign.
Imagine it comes back and it's literally just two stages and it's like a skate ramp. It's like super small. Like, and you can't even get a ticket to it because it's sold out.
Sure. Like in 97, where one of the bands is playing on the back of a truck.
Dude, I think it's gotta either go, I mean, who knows? It could be a lot of things, right? But going backwards a little bit in some way, and then adding something new to it, right? Some new element of like today's modern life. I think that's what Warped Tour was kind of good at all those years. You know, they did adapt over the years. They brought in new bands. They brought in, you know, they brought back legendary bands, but they always had new bands, and they always had new sort of like, I don't know, like attractions, like weird stuff. I remember like, one of those years, there was, or a few of the years, maybe, the guy that got shot out of a rocket.
Oh, yeah. Like that was crazy.
I'm just wild stuff. The Metal Militia, the human rocket. Like, what? This is like, Jim. Yeah. So it was good times, man. And so Kevin Lyman was awesome. And I called him up and was like, here, we're trying to do some crazy shit. You know, we're trying to get the word out on a record. He's like, dude, please.
Of course.
I'd love for you to do it.
Guys, absolutely. And they're doing the best.
They're doing a show. I don't know all the details, but it's the night before When We Were Young Fest in Las Vegas. It's a bunch of bands. I want to say it was The Used. Is it The Used? Maybe you could look that up or something. But like, it's all a charity show. So a bunch of bands are on the bill, and a bunch of bands are just going to stop by and like hang.
Yeah.
And I think we're, at the very least, we're going to stop by and hang.
Awesome.
And we might, I'll probably just get up on stage and do something, because that's usually what I try to do, because I can't help it. I can't help myself. I got up on stage and sang with Less Than Jake the other night in Seattle. But
I love it.
For the record, I was invited. I didn't crash the stage. JR was like, hey, you're singing with us. All right, let's do it.
Kevin did that last year too, before When We Were Young. There was a bowling, it was at Brooklyn Bowl, and there's a bowling tournament.
Yes.
And of course, don't worry, you know, Silverstein, we got a trophy. We were top three.
Once again, you're on the opposite year as us.
Yeah.
MXPX is playing, and then also Goldfinger, the other band I play bass in, is playing this year.
That's right.
But you're not on it.
No. Nope.
You're on last
year. We were on last year.
Is that Kevin's fault? Is he doing this?
Right? It's true though. When We Were Young, I think it's maybe not 100% different bands, but it's like 95. Like, I think there's like two bands that are different, or that are the same, I mean, as last year. Like, I think maybe Pierce the Veil was on both, or someone like that. I don't quote me.
Sure.
But yeah, it's awesome. It's just a really cool thing. And I mean, it's not Warped Tour, but it's a little bit like kind of a one day of it. And like, it feels like it, you know?
Yeah.
And you're going to love it. They did a great job last year.
Awesome, dude. I can't wait.
Awesome.
It's going to be fun.
Amazing, man. What else to ask you about? You mentioned Goldfinger. That last Goldfinger record was awesome, by the way. And, you know, obviously John Feldmann, what a writer, what a producer, what a guy. I was surprised when I looked up some of the song credits, how much you write in Goldfinger with John and Charlie. I really found that interesting because I just kind of assumed it was kind of like, okay, it's the John Feldmann show and here you are, you're there to support him and play bass, but you actually have quite a creative presence in Goldfinger at this point.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that, man. You know, I gotta say, you know, really is the man. Like I am still a support, even though, yes, I have some songwriting credits and I've written a bit. He's still really doing the bulk of the heavy lifting these songs. Yeah. So, but I have been in the band 10 years now, technically. Whoa, I guess.
Crazy.
I know, it's wild. Like, what? Where did the time go? So here we are. And this is the second record I've been part of, because it's really the second record that they've released since I've been in the band. And the first one was, I wrote maybe one writer's credit on that or something. I have like maybe one part or something, but I wrote like, I don't know, like six. I wrote on six songs. I didn't write six songs. I wrote on six songs for this new record. And it's called Never Look Back. And not all the songs are on the record. I think a couple of the B-sides that made it to the deluxe version.
All right,
man. In my opinion, that 3 a.m. song is so good. I don't know if I sing on that, but I just sing a lot of backups. I play a lot of bass. And to be clear, John plays bass amazingly. Like, he is so good. So like, he doesn't really need me to really play, but he'll send me files. Be like, hey, can you play on this? Can you put a bass line on this? Can you put backup vocals on this? And then for the songwriting stuff, it's usually most of the songs written, but he'll ask me to add bass lines and then write a verse, write a bridge, something like that.
Cool.
And every now and again, like I'll write a bridge, I'll send it to him. He's like, what is that? What are you talking about there? Oh, well, this. He's like, maybe give me something like this or whatever. He'll like give me direction or whatever. But like, for the most part, he likes what I write first time. But
cool.
I love that process though, because it's so much easier than writing a whole song. You can imagine.
Yeah.
You just literally like,
because there's nothing worse than, and we talked about songwriting a little bit, but like, I just picture looking at that like blank DAW, like Pro Tools or Logic or whatever you're working in, like just a blank screen. And it's like, what do I start with? You know, what do I record first? What do I write first? That's always a challenge. So it's like, yeah, if somebody's like, okay, well, this is the basis for it. All right, this is the key. This is the tempo. You know, this is kind of what the song's about. That's kind of the dream, right? It's like, expanding on that, especially when you know it's going to be probably pretty awesome if it's a John Feldmann song.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be a bad like songwriting niche or however you say it. Is like, send me all your unfinished songs. I'll fix them. Give me writer credit. You give me a chunk of them, whatever, done. Like that literally could be a job. Cause there's so many songwriters out there that probably have so many songs unfinished. They're just like, I just can't quite figure this out and I don't have time.
Totally. I mean, you know, that happens all the time though. Like, when you're in the songwriting process, right? At least for me, when I'll write something and I'll be like, okay, this is like okay, but what is it? And sometimes it's like as simple as like changing one note in a melody or something, and then it kind of unlock, or like changing the rhythm slightly, and you're like, it just unlocks the whole rest of it. And I guarantee you there are probably so many people that have dozens of songs like that where it's like, I don't know, I just hit a block, and it's probably something so simple that just somebody else, like a second set of eyes almost, you know, or ears in this case, that's all you need. I totally agree with you.
Yeah. Yeah. And to bring momentum back up, I think for me, songwriting is all about momentum. If something's like coming out of me, I don't stop until I just don't have any more words. I just keep writing, and vice versa. If I don't really, if it's not happening, I just don't write. I just walk away, do something else, change it up. And so like, yeah, doing the different types of songwriting for me is kind of fun because it just, anything like that, I can just get switched up. And then humans, I think in general, are just task oriented beings. And so like getting a little task that's like very digestible, like write a verse and not a whole song.
Right.
Done.
All right.
Let's go. Let's go, John. Let's go. So yeah, but that, nice. That's what makes, you know, this new record even more, you know, fun to talk about with MXPX is just, yeah, I wrote every word and it's like, it took me a minute, but I feel great about it. I feel like, you know, I feel like I could always do better. So like, you know, maybe the next record will be better, but this is pretty decent.
It's pretty good, man. it's really good. And you know, time will tell how it, you know, sits in,
yeah,
ranks in the order of best MXPX records. But I'll tell you, man, I think this one is like really close to the top for me. So congratulations on that, man.
Dude, thank you so much. You know what I try to do with these records is because I don't want to just kick out a record because I need to pay for the mortgage or whatever. Like, I really feel like, I need to make it stick. And that's a weird thing to say, but like, there's a book called Perennial Seller by Ryan Holiday, and he wrote a chapter about MXPX, and it was, unfortunately, it came out around the time where we were seemingly kind of like dying, and it was clear that I still had, like, you know, musical, I guess, aspirations, and I was still working, I was still doing it, but like, he didn't see that I was just literally just then starting to rebuild this, I don't want to call it an empire, this thing that I've, you know, worked on my whole life, MXPX. And I feel like, man, one, every work we do, I want it to be a perennial seller, which that means it'll stand the test of time. And for us, it means it's going to be top 80% of what we've done, you know, in our career. So like, that's what I'm striving for. And I'm not saying like, hey, if I fail, I fail. That's okay. But that book, you know, when I read that chapter, I was like, man, he really sees him. His story is seen. And I'm good friends with Ryan, by the way, like,
right,
that's how he ended up talking. But like, he sees MXPX as these kids starting out and we did what we did. And then we were dying. Then he kind of missed us going up now, you know what I mean? So like, this is, I want to like tell that new story of us trying to get this new album to be a perennial seller. And, you know, I feel like we did that with our self-titled album, as far as like our fan base goes.
Yeah, totally.
They accept it. Like, you know, I mean, it is what it is. We can't help that it came out in 2018. We can't help that this album came out in 2023, but it did. So, but
yep. No, it's a real thing. That's a really interesting book. I just wrote it down because I'm sure it's fascinating, all the stuff that's in that book.
Yeah.
Not just you guys. So that's really, really cool. Perennial Seller by Ryan Holiday, everybody. So you don't have to go back and hear what Mike said. There it is again. Awesome, man. What else to tell the people before I let you go?
Well, I mean, I love hot sauce. I'm just kidding. That's like telling people your favorite color.
Well, what? Okay, let's say you're at a breakfast diner.
Yeah.
Right. Like, you know, whatever, with your kids or whatever, and you get some eggs or whatever. What are you putting on it? Are you reaching for like a straight up Tabasco, Cholula?
I would go Cholula.
I like Cholula a lot.
I would say Cholula if it's the standard fare. But I go with like boutique companies like Hopzinger's, Liquid Cartoon, things like that you can't get necessarily in those places. But I gotta say, Dexter so Holland, so good. Yeah, yeah.
I love that one. Gringo's Banditos, yes.
Yeah, 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 yeah. So all that stuff's great. Dude, there's so many hot sauces, and I know I'm forgetting a few that have hooked me up, but I love hot sauce. It's insane.
I
every day. I just about eat it. And if for bands out there, if you order your stickers from Sticker Mule, a lot of you already know this, they send you hot sauce.
Nice.
They make their own hot sauce. Like, It's insane. And it's really good. Really good.
Nice.
And recently I got my hands on some portable, I guess, this, of course, it's all portable, but travel size, like packets of the mule sauce.
Ah.
It's like, wow, this is above and beyond. And I actually took some to Canada with me, to Quebec, because I knew you guys don't have any hot sauce up there.
I
actually used it.
Quebec,
I'm kidding. Maybe, I'm just kidding.
Quebec,
you guys
Quebec
shit.
Maybe is like, I feel like their food is sort of more European influenced.
It is. Yeah. Yeah.
If that makes any sense. So I think that that maybe is accurate, but no, we in Toronto, we got. Come on, we got stuff.
No, Toronto has everything, of course.
Shout out to my boy, Jeff, who has an awesome newer hot sauce company called Halo Heats. That's one people are going to want to check out. They got a delicious
Halo
spicy dill pickle hot sauce that's banging. Super good.
Wow.
Anyway, shout out to my boy, Jeff.
It's insane. Love it.
There you go.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, I just want people to check out the record. We just released a video today. And I know this isn't airing today. Sorry.
Well, it'll be out now. It's only two days. I'm going to put it up in 2 days. So it's going to be quick.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. We just released a video, Cautious Optimistic. If you missed our first video, check it out. It's called, Stay Up All Night is the song. So I guess that's what it's called. Good times.
Nice.
Yeah. We love it. Both. I mean, they're so different from each other. Stay Up All Night is definitely a little more serious story.
Yeah.
And Cautious Optimistic is very fun. It's the sequel to Chick Magnet.
Nice.
And
all right.
you get to see Yuri become a star again.
Love it. Amazing. Oh, can't wait. Can't wait to watch that. That's amazing. Everybody check out both those videos. And one last thing, Mike, you got your podcast you've been doing for a very long time. And I noticed you're almost at episode 500. That's a hell of a milestone. You got any plans for number 500?
You know what? I don't have any plans for number 500. I'm sure Bob, my producer, will give me some ideas. But what do you suggest? What should I do?
Oh my God. I have no idea. I have to look back at everything.
What are you going
to
do?
I'm not close to 500. I'm still in the 300s here, but
get a little time.
I don't know, man.
But you would do something. Who you think it's important enough?
Who is your favorite artist of all time? Do you have one person?
Ooh, that is rough because it's changed. I think it changes over the decades. It changes over the eras. I mean, certainly the Descendants have been one of my favorite bands, just kind of like listening to their songs in my bedroom kind of thing. But Rancid, NoFX, all those bands, I've listened to all the punk genre of bands so many times. I think the problem is I listen to so much punk rock that I think it's not a problem, but I feel like, I always feel like inferior to everyone because I'm like, oh man, that's such a good song that I forget about my own stuff. But that's just my personality, just to be very humble, I guess. But
I assume you've had Milo on your show, right?
Yes I have. Yeah,
yeah.
Milo, so, having Milo is amazing. You know what's funny though is like the Descendants, I say that and I'm like such good friends with those guys, especially Stefan. So it just, it's kind of weird because it's your friends being your favorite band. But as far as like back in the day, I grew up listening to the Beatles. I grew up listening to, I would say like Huey Lewis. Huey Lewis. Like when Chris DeMakes from Less Than Jake got Huey Lewis on his podcast, I shit myself. I was like, holy shit. That guy's amazing. Like, he's amazing. And our manager, our ex-manager from years and years and years ago, used to be a roadie for Huey Lewis. And we still never met him. So,
well, Huey Lewis could be an option for 500, but you mentioned the Beatles. I mean, maybe you shoot big. Maybe Paul McCartney.
Paul McCartney.
There you go. Or maybe Ringo. If you can't get Paul, maybe Ringo.
Paul or Ringo. Yeah. Henry Rollins.
It would be sick. Sure. Hey, I mean, we're turning. The wheels are turning for Mike. But congratulations on all that and sticking with it. And congrats on the new record. The Hollywood show is going to be amazing. I would love to be there. And everything else you got going on, Mike, thanks for taking the time. I know it's probably a very busy, busy week right now.
Dude, never too busy for you, Shane, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks, bud.
Thank you.
Thanks, bud.
Appreciate it.
And I will leave the people with a tune. Which one from the new record should I play?
Oh, I mean, I guess it depends on your audience. You know, if they like heavier stuff, then...
Yeah, I think we kind of like it. They like everything around here.
Everything?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Stay Up All Night.
Stay Up All Night. Here it is. The single. Check out the video.
Yep.
Let's do it. Stay Up All Night. Here it is on Lead Singer Syndrome. Thanks again, Mike.
Thank you, Shane.
Black night, still looking for answers. Never believed they were out of sight. Feels like I can't get away from all of my mistakes. From here right now to eternity. And if I hurt you, know that I'll try to make it right. With you all night, I'll stay up all night. I'll stay up all night. Let's stay up all night. Where does your mind go when you hear? I don't know, 10,000 times. Backseat driving mine. All the way back to the other side of dark memories that have gone deep to hide. And when the monsters come back to life, we'll drag them out into the light. Out into the light. Out into the light. If I hurt you, know that I'll try to make it right. I won't desert you, I'll stay up with you all night. And if I hurt you, know that I'll try to make it right. I won't desert you, I'll stay up with you all night. I'll stay up all night.
There it is. New music from MXPX. Stay Up All Night from the new album Find a Way Home, which is out right now. Go pick it up. The band put out this thing themselves. It's so sick. Go support them. Head over to mxpx.com. Pick up the vinyl. Stream it. Whatever you got to do. Go see them live. I want to thank Mike and his whole team for having him on the show during a very busy release week as well. Always great to catch up with him. And yeah, it was great. It was awesome. Next week, I will be back again with another lead singer. Because, you know, that's what I do here. I talk to lead singers. So pretty awesome. If you like the show, please feel free to write a review on iTunes. Tell a friend, tell a loved one. Check out the All Access Club. Or go back and listen to, you know, 300 whatever episodes. And if you've already listened to all my shows or you want something different, then listen to some of Mike's. His podcast is great. The Mike Herrera Podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. You know what? I'm going to play a classic MXPX song right now because you know what? Because I can. So here is my personal favorite from the Life in General album, 1995. That's crazy. Here it is, Doing Time on Lead Singer Syndrome. Peace and love, everybody. See you next time.
I remember the times I had. Some were happy, some were sad. Memories me in the park as a tribe. Bowing up a thousand times. I've been through it, I feel fine. I went to school and did my time. In a sense, I'm out in a sense, I'm free. Today, what I wanna be. Fun was cartoon Saturdays. Fun was saying a passing. Play was trying to fit in. Play was the wrong crowd. Let me in. I got through it, I feel fun. I went to school, did my time. In a sense I'm out, in a sense I'm free. Did what I wanna be. Yeah, gotta stick together.